right. We have in studio with us, I want to talk about this event that's coming up because it's a kind of a unique event.
It is.
Not well heralded yet, and it should be, that is happening in Chicago. And we have got, it's the first annual Native American Professionals Breakfast. Now, Chicago is a really important city in the history of North American, Native American history. Right, especially after many, many, many people came off of out of the reservations and decided to get out back into the cities. Chicago was a big destination at the turn of the century for folks who were doing that, and there were pockets, big neighborhoods actually in Chicago of Native Americans, and and there still are some. And it's one of those things. It's one of those sociological stories that we continue to sort of lower our eyes about. We try not to. I think as a culture, as a society, we don't spend the kind of time thinking about, especially here in Chicago and in Illinois, what goes on in the Native American communities that are just, maybe 100 miles away or 200 miles away up in Wisconsin or in Minnesota or points west, the Dakotas. I had the opportunity, and let me just tell the story before we introduce our guests, I had this opportunity a couple of years ago to host a group of kids who were coming in from a reservation in the Dakotas. And I took them down to the television station, to ABC, and they were on an elevator with me. And for some of those kids, it was the first time they'd ever been on an elevator.
Wow.
On an elevator. And they were teenagers. And they were totally engaged. They were totally interested in what was going on. But they just, they literally just didn't have the opportunity, the means or the opportunity to actually go out and see the things that are happening around them and take part in it. And so this, I think, that's why I wanted to highlight what's happening here. So Andrew Johnson's with us. He's the president of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois. And Patty Lowe, who's a professor at McGill School of Journalism, right downstairs from us, as a matter of fact,
yes.
Isn't it? It's really funny.
Great school, I might add.
That was a two-floor commute that you actually had to just make. And you do Native American and Indigenous research at Northwestern. All right, so let me just start with you. I want to start with you, Andrew. Let's talk about, first of all, you are Native American.
Correct. I'm an enrolled member of the Cherokee Nation from Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Let's talk a little bit about Chicago and what the sort of how Chicago plays into all of this, too, because Chicago was a place, obviously, during the early years of the United States, it was a trading post, essentially, and there were a ton of Native nations in this region, right? And that we still have a number of the hallmarks of that. But then, as there was, the Trail of Tears and all those other events that happened, the darker events that happened in American history, as Native Americans were being pushed out west and away from the commerce that was going on, that basically European Americans were doing as they were pushing these folks away, that Chicago was a bit of a safe zone in some respects and places where they could come back to.
Now, in some respects, what you have in terms of history, that natives were basically removed as of the Treaty of Chicago in 1833. Mm-hmm. There was a small band of Potawatomi that did stay, were able to remain in this area, but you didn't see an influx of natives until the mid-1950s. You had two federal acts occur. One's called termination, and the other's termed relocation. So with the Termination Act, after World War II, U.S. was heavily in debt. How can we reduce this debt? Well, let's terminate and abrogate all treaties with the Native Americans, terminate the tribes. And on the second part is, where did the natives go in terms of the reserved lands that they had, there were, places where nobody else wanted to be. But with the atomic age and the end, where were all the minerals that were needed to support this? On the native lands, the reservations. So let's remove them off of that, relocate them. And so you had a tremendous influx into the larger metropolitan areas in the U.S., Los Angeles, San Francisco, of Seattle, Denver, and Chicago was a real terminus because of Route 66. They were promised jobs, healthcare, housing, training, all of that. But once the individuals arrived, there was basically nothing there. Those items weren't available. And so that's where the American Indian Center was started in 1953, really as a support organization.
Up on the north side of the city.
Exactly. So that's been in existence since 1953 to support the natives here, support each other. And that's where you see the tremendous influx come in during that period. So today in Illinois, there are about 100,000 natives in total. In the greater Chicagoland area, all the collar counties, about 60,000. And in Chicago metro, about 40,000. So quite a vibrant, robust community here. And we started the Chamber of Commerce to encourage the entrepreneurship that is really a lot of the life of Native Americans.
So it's a way for people to network,
to build their business. We need to start at the student level to get them started thinking about how they can help build themselves up, do things to give back too, and it's done with a Native view, with Native values of giving back, of reciprocity, of integrity, of really providing value to the others. So that's the basis of what we have here and the way many businesses are throughout the U.S. But we really need to build up our economic base here in the Illinois area, and this is one of the ways that we're doing this. So looking at it in terms of business, of education and employment, and then other government services. So
it's amazing. We were just talking right before we went on the air that there are no federally protected native lands in Illinois or Indiana, but our neighboring states have them, right? Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yes. With Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, all of those. So they already have a seat at the table, really, economically and politically. And so we're starting from behind the eight ball to really get out there. And you're seeing much, much more of a of interest, of force, and involvement here now to make sure that we do get there.
Yeah, which is why it's the first annual breakfast, because you're going to plan, I'm sure, to expand and move forward from
absolutely. And like I said, we wanted to include the education, government. We have a professor of entrepreneurship who's going to be speaking with us from a government standpoint. Senator Susie Glowiak-Hilton, Alderman Brian Hopkins are going to be there. And then Janelle Ford, Commissioner or Director Janelle Ford of the state's Central Management Services will be there to speak too, along with her other people from her organization, and then a couple of Native entrepreneurs. So we really want to get that message out that there is support, there is interest, and
there could be a building of an economy here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Patty, let's talk a little bit about the idea, because I know you've done a lot of work, and you're a journalist and all the documentarian, about also encouraging young Natives to come that may be still in the reservation system to be able to feel safe coming into the economy as a whole.
Right.
Because the suicide rate, this is one of the most astounding numbers.
Heartbreaking.
The suicide rate on federal reservations for Native Americans, 17 times higher with teenagers than it is nationally.
Right.
17 times higher. Alcoholism rate, drug addiction rate, all those kinds of things also exponentially higher.
But it's not limited to reservations. I think, you know, Andrew, you just described the present situation so well. We have this visibility problem. Most people don't know that there are 100,000 plus Native people in Illinois. We don't have any federally recognized tribes. There's when you talk about Native people in Chicago, people will say, There are Indians in Chicago. Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
And something that people don't understand is that 80%, almost 80% of Native people now live off their reservations. So, you know, 3/4 of us are living in cities, and some of those same social problems, suicide being one of them, now, if not the leading cause of death of young Native people,
yeah.
Close to it. That's not a problem that's just reservation-based. That is happening in the cities, too. And so if we are serious about bringing and encouraging young Natives to come to cities like Chicago, attend universities like Northwestern, we have to make sure that we have support structures or we're being really irresponsible.
To the point I was trying to make at the beginning, you know, you have a bunch of kids who are just as smart and acclimated to American culture through media as anybody, but they just don't. But they literally haven't been in a dynamic living environment like this. And in some cases, some of these reserve lands, I mean, it's just above squalor, really, for you know, some of the housing stock and the federal investment has been shameful. All the money that we spend on everything else, it's amazing to me. And I know that the argument is, well, give them a casino, right? Isn't that, you hear that from the business community and sometimes from the political community. Right. Well, this is what we'll do. And sometimes the tribal councils can, you know, there's been corruption on some of these tribal councils throughout the years. And it's a little hard to tell, you know, who you're
probably
actually doing
no more
with.
Than it exists in mainstream America.
No. Oh.
Great point, Matt. Excellent point.
I would, of course. Yes. But no, it still has been saying. There, you know, and well, they found that, in, especially on the East Coast, especially when they're letting casino licenses, right?
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, a guy who's 164th pops up and goes, hey, I could be your tribal elder, right? And that, you can't.
Yeah.
Patty, can I ask you about education as well? Because I think the Native American experience, I know, was fairly glossed over when I was in school, and it wasn't really a truth-telling experience, and you learn later that, you know, here's kind of how things were, and maybe that was too brutal to introduce to kids at too young of an age. I don't know. But I'm wondering if we're doing a better job of communicating to our kids. And I know you're an educator. You've written books as well, and a documentarian, as Ro
pointed out. And books for kids, too, in schools.
So how does that work now? Is it? Are we doing a better job of that?
Well, you know, this is something that is really important to me. And during my summers, I work with tribal teens and try to teach them digital storytelling and address some of the things that that you mentioned. Let's give them some opportunities to, if they choose to, go off reservation or else learn and bring those technologies back to the reservation and build capacity there. But, you know, as I understand it in Illinois, and I've only been here for 2 years, Andrew, you've been here longer, there is very little about Native people in the curricula in Chicago schools. And when they are discussed, they're usually discussed as historic figures, and then they kind of drop out after the fur trade. And I think it's really important when children learn about Native people that they see them not just as historical figures who were certainly important in the evolution of the way things happened on this continent, but also that they're dynamic. And I think this is what you're trying to do, Andrew, with trying to present a different facet of Native life, one that's dynamic and contemporary and innovative. We didn't get to where we are today because of generational trauma. Mm-hmm. We survived because of generational joy and ingenuity and innovation. And so I think these sorts of things are important too, and I think that's what you're doing.
Which need to be embraced, which is, I think, one of the issues that when we're talking about sociological and psychological issues with kids, is that there's so much, especially in the reserved lands, which is, you know, they may be living in a home that's 30 miles away from the end of the reserve lands, right? They never get off the reservation in the sense of ever being outside the sort of the string wall, if you will, of that. And I noticed that in northern Michigan, right? Or the upper peninsula of Michigan, and which is probably the closest large to, or maybe central the upper peninsula of Michigan probably is the closest of those large areas. And you just, you know, you want to encourage, especially the young kids, to be able to come down. And it's not necessarily, and I think there is a little bit of reservation about, in their minds, about the idea of doing it and maybe leaving behind, right? Isn't there a sense, you know, family commitment and things like that?
Yeah, but I mean, not all reservations are like that. Go to the Oneida Reservation in northern Wisconsin outside of Green Bay. It's very progressive, and the quality of life there is wonderful. The education system is wonderful. They have great, their tribal council has invested in a wonderful clinic and dental care. And I mean, it's as nice of a community as you'd find everywhere. So, you know, when you're talking about 573 different federally recognized tribes, the experience is very different.
Right.
And we have, what, how many hundreds of different diverse tribes represented here in Chicago?
Over 125 different tribes represented here in the Chicago area. So it is quite a melting pot, quite a multi-tribal area. And that's one thing to understand about natives, too. It's not a homogeneous group.
Right. No one is, actually. There is no such thing, right?
Boy, it's something. When you, when you meet one Native American, you've met one Native American.
That's a good way to put it.
Even when we get together, two natives in a room, you're going to have three opinions.
Even from the same tribe.
Yeah.
I wonder what Thanksgiving is like.
Well, we've run out of time for this, but again, the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois is hosting this event, the first annual Native American Professionals Breakfast, connecting business, government, education, and employment. It's going to be at the University of Illinois Chicago Student Services Building, which is 1200 West Harrison Street, Conference Room B and C. It is in 2 weeks, November 19th, Tuesday, November 19th. And if people want tickets or registration, you go to NACC-IL.org. That's Native American Chamber of Commerce, NACC-IL. All right. Or you can just look at it that way. Thank you so much.
Thank you
both. Appreciate
you
spending time with us.
Thank you so very much.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways?